Good morning, everyone. Welcome in to the Bond Oversight Committee meeting this Thursday, July 13th, 2023. If you can believe it already, we are middle of July already. I'm Dr. Stephen Holt with TriExcellence, and I have the privilege of facilitating this particular Oversight Committee. Today's committee meeting will be according to the agenda. Hopefully you've had a chance to look at it and see it. We're going to do our best to operate smoothly through the agenda and take the items in order. There are opportunities for public testimony or public comment. You'll be given 2 minutes if you'd like to engage. And we'll give you this opportunity. If you're in the Zoom community, you can do so by identifying yourself, raising your hand. When it comes to that moment, you will be asked to identify your name. And if you are connected to any organization, and then you will have 2 minutes to share your thoughts. If you have concerns, thoughts, questions, you're more than welcomed and encouraged to reach out directly to the Portland Housing Bureau and interact with PHB staff. Normally, PHB staff ask us to turn on our cameras and wave so that people can identify who you are. So I'll give you a moment just to do that. All PHB staff, identify yourselves. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So you can reach out to them directly if you have questions for the Portland Housing Bureau. We will do roll call, and then we'll go into our the approval of our minutes. So I will begin with the Bond Oversight Committee member who is in person. Annalise.
Annalise Curler, Portland Housing Bond Oversight Committee.
Alan Lazo.
Good morning, everyone. Alan Lazo, he, him pronouns. I'm a Bond Oversight Committee member, and I'll have to excuse myself. I'm going to have to leave after 10, after the business portion of the meeting.
Thank you very much. And Todd Struble.
Good morning, Todd Struble, he, him pronouns, and Bond Oversight Committee. Thanks.
Thank you. Hopefully, Bond Oversight Committee, you've had an opportunity to look at the minutes from the last meeting, and want to provide an opportunity for any comment or question. And if not, if someone could make a motion to approve them as recorded.
I'll so move.
Excellent. It's been moved. Can we get a second?
Second.
Perfect. Moved and seconded. All in favor, we will say aye, and I will call you by name, beginning with Todd.
Aye.
Alan.
Aye.
Annalise.
Aye.
Excellent. Minutes moved, approved for the last Bond Oversight Committee meeting. And now here's the opportunity for a public testimony. Now, the request is that you keep the comments directed to the responsibility of the Bond Oversight Committee. If there, again, are things that are outside the specific responsibility of the BOC, that you would then direct those to the appropriate people in the Portland Housing Bureau. Do we have any public testimony this morning? Go to my assistant. Hearing none, we will then move forward in our agenda for some general project updates and some project milestones. I believe it's Jill and then Angel. Jill.
Thank you, Dr. Holt. For the record, this is Angel Chen, Housing Investments and Portfolio Preservation Manager. I use she, her pronouns. And as you saw on the updated charts, we are very close to getting all of our projects in construction. There's only one project left, which is Hollywood Hub, that we discussed at the last meeting, where we had swapped Hollywood Hub and Barbara Apartments out. Good Hub is targeted to close sometime in the middle of next year.
Bill, I hate to interrupt you. Pardon me. I'm so sorry. Two problems from my end, and I don't know if it's for everyone else. The audio is a little garbled, and then I need you to project a little more, like with the outside voice.
Is this better?
Oh, much.
Is this better? Oh, it sounds so loud. Sorry about that. Okay. So the good part is that we only have Hollywood Hub left. That was the project that was swapped out that we discussed last quarter with Barber Apartments, and it is closing in mid-2024. I also wanted to show you the dashboard. In the dashboard, you'll see that there are a few reds, which means the changes, and did want to say that we are very pleased that Francis and Claire just closed about end of last week, end of June. So that was just closed. That's 100% BSH with Catholic Charities and Eden & Co. So you'll see in the big dashboard, there are a number of items that's changed. Those are highlighted in red. Some of the things we noted last time as well is that Hollywood Hub has a number of other financings. This includes home art funds, almost for $10 million, as well as Metro bonds. Hollywood Hub will be the only project that has both Metro bond funds as well as Portland Housing bond funds. So it will close out all of our Portland. Going down the list, you'll see there's also some reds along the start of lease-up, and that is because many of the construction and inspection in order to reach temporary certificate of occupancy has been delayed. Some of this is related to inspection, some of this is related to elevators, supply chain issues, so it's a number of issues that we've seen in our construction. But the good news is a number of them are also open. So if we go to the next slide. As mentioned, we are still seeing some pre-development risk. There's some construction risk and delays. There's also some operational issues that we're seeing related to property management, permanent supportive housing, and inflationary costs. So those are all, you can call it project-related issues that I wanted to raise and ensure that Bond Oversight Committee is aware of. Other things for us as a organization to think about is also the passage of the housing budget and the need for alignment with state, regional, and local resources. The state legislature passed its 23-25 budget, and I wanted to make sure that as the Bureau is moving forward with our, you can call it, rest of our funding and our developments, we're aware we are, you can call it, aligned with the state. This state has $604 million in new affordable housing development funds, especially for LIFT and PSH. They have also another $50 million in preservation, affordable rental and mobile homes. And they have another $72 or so in homeless services and turnkey transitional housing. So these are some areas we're going to be working with the state to see how we align better some of our programs and our investments. And the final aspect for the housing bonds is how we're going to be closing out on the housing bonds and moving forward. Discussions with you all in terms of construction and also in terms of just the lease of it, the demographics of those buildings. Next slide, please. This is just a recap of the 2022 Portland Housing Bond openings. That was 5 projects, a number of new houses, and I think a number of you went to a few of these openings. So we're very, very pleased to have so many of them opened. Next slide, please. Since then, we have had a number of other projects opening up. Evans Place, one building has opened. Aurora is in the process of leasing up and opening. Anaman is three buildings, and one of them is also in the process of lease up. And the Joyce just opened also in end of June, and that's another 100% PSH building. You will hear from the sponsors for the Aurora and Anaman later this morning. Next slide, please. Looking forward in the new remaining projects for 24 through 26, 50,000 Powell, that is targeted to open in second quarter of 2024. All Francis Claire, which just closed, that is targeted to open in third quarter 2024, and Alder 9 in fourth quarter. And then Hollywood Hub, because of the slight delay, that will open, we think, in 2026. It's one of the largest projects PHB has ever done, and it's a complicated site right off the Hollywood Trimet Center. I think that is it for our project summaries. Anhel?
Well, before Anhel gives us his update, Jill, if we could give a moment for any question and or comment from the Oversight Committee, and I will just call by name. Annalise, any comment or question?
None for me, thank you.
Absolutely, thank you. Todd, comment, question?
None for me, thank you.
Absolutely. Alan, comment, question?
Thanks, Dr. Holt. Yeah, I had a couple questions, Jill. One is, on your slide, on the slide, kind of about considerations there, I'm assuming that the top one there around continued pre-development risk, that only applies at this point to Hollywood Hub, correct? That's the only, and as you just said, it's an incredibly complicated project given the site and scale.
That is correct, Alan. It is only related to Hollywood Hub, and what we're seeing, for example, on Hollywood Hub, is that cost continues to rise. And interest during construction is affecting Hollywood Hub, but also the existing projects that are in construction, because interest rates for construction loans are floating. And we all know that interest rates have been rising. So one of the issues have been with the rise in interest during construction, some of our developers are constrained because they have no additional funding except from their own corpus.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. And that might play into the other one on here about what you talked about for the alignment of resources. So is the call for alignment there, is that also only related to Hollywood Hub and the need for that particular project to kind of complete their stack? Because the other ones, I mean, all have their funding stacks completed, right? Or are there risks that they might not have funding because the state might not be aligned with some of these priorities?
The alignment of resources for the bond project is only related to Hollywood Hub.
Okay.
And we are working with the state to also get Hollywood Hub, its private activity bonds, so that it can get the low-income housing tax credits. Yeah. And, not related to your work, but with the other projects that are in PHP's pipeline, as well as all the other projects that we know about from our partners, our development partners, many of them are hoping to have a greater cost share of the state's funds.
Okay.
For the city of Portland.
Okay. And Hollywood Hub, though, doesn't, I just was checking, looking at it, it doesn't have any PSH units then, right? So the regional PSH wouldn't play into this?
That is correct. It is not a okay. PSH building.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will then move forward to Anhel.
Thank you, Dr. Holt. Good morning, everyone. Anhel Landron Gonzalez, Finance and Accounting Manager for the Portland Housing Bureau. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm Latino. The expenditure report highlights as of June 30th of this year are the following. The expended versus committed amounts have continued increasing on ongoing constructions compared with the previous quarter's report. As of June, the expenditures are $197.3 million, where the project spending has increased by $12.8 million, or equivalent to 6.9%. The committed funding for this period is $63.4 million, decreasing by $12.7 million, or minus 16.6% compared to last quarter. The remaining $686,128 will either be used to replace Metro Bonds dollars currently used in the Hollywood Hub project or to be allocated to fill funding gaps, if any. Any questions?
Thanks, Angel. We'll just go right through our normal approach. I will just ask by name. Alan.
No, pretty straightforward at this point. Thanks, Angel. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
Same, no question. Thank you.
Thank you. And then Annalise.
No questions. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Angel, for the report. We appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
Well, we're moving right through the agenda very smooth. I guess that's what happens when the preparation and the execution is well done and the work has been pretty consistent. So it's great news. We have two presenters today, and that will be from the Aurora and then Anaman House. You will have 15 minutes to present. I'm going to set a timer for 13 minutes. And when you hear the beeping, you will know it's time to start wrapping your thoughts. So without further ado, let me deliver it to the representation of the Aurora.
Excuse me. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to share our project. My name is Brian Shelton Kelly, the Senior Project Manager with Our Just Future, formerly known as Human Solutions, and we are the sponsor and the developer of the Aurora project. Next slide, I guess. I don't know. Do I have a control? Oh, there we go. Thank you. The Aurora is a really wonderful and key project for East Portland. It's located on 160th and Stark, kind of right on the edge of the city boundary with Gresham. We've been working on this project over a number of years. As you all may know, the site that it's on had some long history of multiple uses, including a family shelter. And after that building, we determined was unable to be rehabbed and salvaged. We worked with a variety of partners to turn it into this project. In this project, we've worked with Edlin and Company as our development consultant. Holst provided the design and architectural services. Colas Construction was our general contractor, and we have a partnership with LifeWorks Northwest as a service provider. Funding came from a variety of partners, most notably Oregon Housing and Community Services through the LIFT program and allocation of 4% tax credits, and then the Portland Housing Bureau as well. Next slide. So just to go over some of the key project milestones that we've reached, we did receive our temporary certificate of occupancy at the very end of May. We had about a four-month delay in construction, primarily driven by supply chain issues and getting electric transformer equipment to the site to be able to switch over from our construction power to permanent power. So that did impact our schedule greatly, but we worked through those issues with our contractor and got everything through. The project does have 16 units that have project-based vouchers through Home Forward. Those units all passed their inspection on June 5th, And we went right up into lease up. And the first move-ins occurred in June. We had eight households move in June, and some more have happened this week. And we're projecting a 4-month period to lease up the entire building. Probably not surprising to anyone on this call, but I did want to point it out just because I think it's illustrative of the demand and need for affordable housing. The strongest interest and actually the first units to lease up in this project were our units that we set at the 30% of area median income rent that are not subsidized, do not have the project-based vouchers. I think that really does speak to the need of more deeply targeted affordable housing in the community. Those were the units we were getting the most calls on, and again were the ones that leased up right away. We have a strong partnership with the Joint Office and Home Forward on, and have developed a really kind of low barrier application process for the PV project-based voucher units. And are getting referrals from coordinated access. And those units have a preference for households that have experienced homelessness and have the referral through the Joint Office. We came in at about a $38 million total development cost, or about just under $410,000 per unit. We were able to receive some extra incentives from Energy Trust of Oregon and the Oregon Multifamily Energy Program some increased and kind of over baseline energy efficiency measures that we were able to meet in this project. And we're providing AC units in each unit for all residents as a source of in-unit cooling. We'll be doing a grand opening in the fall of this year. Once we're more leased up and the project's more in operations. Next slide. So just to review the unit mix and the priority communities, again, we have the project's 100% affordable, 93 units, majority family-sized units, and then some 30% AMI units. Permanent supportive housing units have a preference for referrals from coordinated access. And in this one, the PSH units are family size units. So 2 and 3 bedrooms, 8 2-bedrooms, and 8 3-bedrooms. So we're working with the coordinated access family system and working with families that are homeless or have been housing insecure. Service partners is kind of a braided approach here. So we have Argus Future is providing our resident services like we provide at all of our properties. And those are open to any residents, all residents. We're also working with Metro and have a contract with them to provide a dedicated staff position for the 16 families that will be coming through coordinated access to help them with housing stability and retention. And then we have a partnership with LifeWork Northwest to provide their services to anyone in the building with a priority or preference for the permanent supportive housing participants. Next slide. So to market and reach out on the project, we and our property management company worked in a number of methods and strategies. We set up a temporary leasing office in the immediate neighborhood across the street from the project. So people could come to the neighborhood, see the site, see the construction going on, but not have to be in an active construction site. That location was at a local church and next to the Tsukasa supermarket. We have affirmative fair housing marketing plan that we use to identify the prior populations least likely to apply for housing. and what marketing efforts would be needed to reach out to those groups. We've also been doing outreach to local community anchors, such as food pantries, the Rosewood Initiative, Boys and Girls Club. And we're also getting referrals and reaching out to our other properties in East Portland. More recently, we've been doing a connection and an outreach to the McKinney-Vento program with the Centennial and Reynolds school districts to see if there's an opportunity to get people that they're working with on the list for this project. We don't quite yet have our initial tenant demographics. Again, the first move-ins just occurred in June, but over the next couple months, we'll be compiling those. Next slide. Wanted to share some pictures of the units. So these are completed unit photos with virtual furniture staging. When I saw these, perhaps it's showing my age a little bit, but I was, you know, pretty amazed at what modern technology can do. So here's an example of our one bedroom unit. We have a variety of different unit types and unit sizes in the building, 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms. But this is an example of our one bedroom units. Next slide. This is a example of our two bedroom unit. And then the next slide will be our three bedroom unit. Throughout the design and development of this project, some key things were important for us and the design team, trying to use a trauma-informed design lens, a universal design lens, incorporate natural light and natural colors and materials really create a non-institutional looking looking building and project. And I think we've achieved that very well. Next slide. For our equitable contracting outcomes, we're really pleased to say that we met the goal of on hard costs, well exceeded the goal on professional services and soft costs. And we had really good, and I think this is a reflection of Colas's work and efforts, really strong workforce diversity participation from communities of color and women. So we're really, really pleased with how that worked out on this project. And construction is all but complete. There are some remaining punch list items that are going, but it's pretty much complete now. All right, next slide. Again, so some of our community engagement activities, obviously the neighborhood contact process through and permitting. Arjus Future has a resident advisory committee that's made up of current Arjus Future portfolio residents from different properties. This group meets regularly and is kind of our way of bringing issues or items that we want feedback to a group that represents the people we serve and the people we house. And we had a lot of good input and feedback on this project and the design and development of this project. We're also working on reaching out and strengthening our connections with culturally specific and community serving organizations. And actually our next development project, we're doing in partnership with Apano. And we're very excited to grow on those efforts. The participant demographics of our community engagement activities included communities, people of color, lower income people, older adults, and our existing tenants. I think some of the main outcomes of this that we learned and then were able to incorporate into the Aurora project were, especially from our residents, we hear a lot of concerns about safety and security. And so wanting to incorporate enhanced safety features into the property, FOB systems, a gate on the parking lot. The idea of incorporating natural and durable materials and interiors, a mix of community gathering spaces and more private spaces to accommodate a range of activities and uses, And then from our resident advisory committee, we heard one thing that's really important is to have bike parking or bike storage rooms on each floor for flexibility, so people don't have to go to either a central place or they're more easy to access from their unit. Next slide. I guess that wraps up the Aurora presentation. Happy to answer any questions. And again, thank you for the opportunity to present our project.
Fantastic, you did that in under 13 minutes. Extremely impressive. And what phenomenal pictures. Oh my gosh, just beautiful spaces, beautiful rooms.
Yeah.
Questions or comments? Todd, I'll go to you first.
No questions. Just the same comments I think I've echoed for the other presentations that we've been able to hear. And just, yeah, it's amazing work. And it's always gratifying to see these projects sort of come to life and recognize that families are moving into these places. So thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Annalise.
Similar to Todd, no questions from me. Thank you, Brian, so much for this presentation. It's really exciting to see all of the hard work come to fruition in so many ways, especially, not surprised, but you know, excited, I guess, to hear about the number of family-sized units, the number of 30%. I know both of those were large emphasis when we were building out the bond, and so happy and excited to see those, and happy and excited to see that they're likely oversubscribed. We're right in our targeting 7 years ago, which is kind of amazing. thank you so much for the update.
Thanks, Brian. Congratulations. Good work. Excited about what's going on.
Thank you.
Opportunities there in front. Yeah, thank you. And our next presenter, Anna Mann House. And the same applies in that 13 minutes to present and communicate. We are just rolling along in today's agenda. Incredible job, everybody. At the end of 13 minutes, you will hear a tone, a bell, and that way you will know you've got a few minutes to wrap up.
Well, thank you very much, everyone, for the invitation to join this morning. I'm the senior housing developer for Innovative Housing, and in partnership with you for the development of the Anna Mann project. Next slide, please. So this gives you an idea of the unit mix for Anna Mann. And we have a total of 129 units. The first building is open right now, which is 50 units. And that first building has a mix of one bedroom and two bedroom units at both the 0 to 30 and 31 to 60% income range. So it's a good mix of units with including 12 PSH units. We have started lease up for the east building, and I think we have about 20 people moved in at this point. So leasing is going well for that first building. Next slide, please. We are still under construction for the project. Our COVID contracting, subcontracting has been going really well. We're toggling between the 32 and 36% range. We're not done with the project yet, and we do have some substantive change orders to work in. And so we're in that range. We will exceed 30%, and we're very excited about that. One of the things that I wanted to talk with you all about this morning is a program that we launched at Anna Mann and that we're very excited about. We worked with NAMAC and the Oregon Tradeswomen Association, and to create an anti-hazing program and zero tolerance policy. And so Oregon tradeswomen presented the trainings for us. We had two-hour construction manager trainings. And so all the foremen and all of the project leaders were construction from the construction companies were participated in that, as well as the subcontractor foreman. And then 8 20-minute toolbox talks. And that was for all workers that were working on site. And we really got some positive feedback. There was a little, trepidation, I would say, in the beginning. People really didn't know what this was going to be like. But the trainings really focus, because Oregon tradeswomen did the trainings and they are in the trades and have that experience, they were really able to tailor the examples of what hazing means and what discrimination means and what equity means to the construction atmosphere. And so after the program was done, we had a lot of people, workers, come up and say, hey, thank you for doing this. We've never really experienced something like this on a job before, and we really appreciate it. And people did notice some changes. There were actually two fairly serious disciplinary actions that came out of this. Two workers were released from employment because they could not follow the policies. And that's, there has to be consequences for the program to really work right. And workers, the feedback from workers was, hey, you're really serious about this. And we appreciate that. So we're excited about the program. We're going to be doing it at all of Innovative Housing Jobs now. And we thank you guys for giving us the inspiration to really do this. Fine. So this is our current projected participation. We had two contractors on this job, Silco Commercial Construction and Todd Construction. Todd was the contractor for the East Building. They're pretty much done. And so their 32% is about set. Silco isn't done yet, and so we're in that 36 to 32% range for them at this time. Our workforce training efforts are coming along well, especially in the female apprentice. I don't have the current hard numbers for you, but we're going to well exceed the female apprentice hours, and we'll be running about right in line with minority hours. Next slide, please. So here's our current funding sources update. You'll see that the project did change quite a bit over time. And that was due to, you know, our current cost escalation atmosphere. And we did add work to the project, creating more units. But the big news for this slide is the PSEF funding. The project did apply for a PSEF grant. And the timing was a little interesting because we applied in fall of 21 and then we weren't awarded until late in 22. And so that was a little bit of a challenge, just trying to get all the work into the project and the plans amended. But we have added $2 million to the project. Every unit has a mini split for heating and cooling. We have solar, we have EV charging. We're adding large shade trees to the site because we did have to remove some trees. And so it's very exciting that we can include that PSEF and green work to the project. Next slide. So here is a review of the cost changes. So we have had other impacts, as Jill alluded to in the beginning of the presentation. We have had construction loan increase, cost increases, and cost escalation. How we are covering that includes the PSEF grant. We are able to capture a low-income housing tax credit upward adjuster because we have added so much work to the project through the PSEF grant and other things. And so we are able to capture a little bit of the upside on that. Our agreement was structured that way with Key. And so our investor, so that was fortunate and foresighted. And then we did have a special contingency from PHB, which we have been judiciously utilizing for the cost escalation items. And this photo just shows you what goes into everything that goes into a new construction building. The corridors are especially busy and have a lot of things running through them. Next slide, please. So here is the development process. I did this slide a few days ago, and so we've had a few more families move in since then. The east building is complete. And then we expect the south building to be complete by the end of this month. That will add 40 more units. There are 3 bedrooms and even 1 4-bedroom unit in that building. And so that's exciting. And then the existing building, we are expecting to be complete in September. You can imagine a National Register 100-year-old building has its amount of challenges, which, you know, we knew that there would be some, but this photo shows an excavation for the lower level waterproofing. We have a lower level that is about 6 feet below the ground. There are windows up on the top, and it leaked. So we are excavating that and doing a lot of waterproofing as we speak. Next slide, please. So that just goes over the changes that have occurred. Next slide. And these are some photos of the east building complete. On the far left lower photo, you'll see if you're looking straight ahead, the building, you're looking at the end, the front end of the east building. And then on the left is the National Register Anaman building. And you can see a closer version of it on the top center photo. And we're really pleased with how the new buildings look. Emmerich Architecture did a very nice job on creating a new twist and a new design for these new buildings that really echo the feeling and the quality of the old existing building. We've had a lot of people, both new residents and neighbors from the Laurelhurst and Kearns neighborhood associations, that have just really had positive reactions over the look of the buildings. The photo on the left is the other side of the east building. That's a ramp that comes over and connects it with the National Register building, which will have our community space in it. And the lower center photo shows you some of our finishes for the kitchens and the apartments, echoing the trend of really getting the wood and the natural materials in there. We find that really provides a quality and positive feeling for residents. And then on the right, lower right corner, that's a photo of the mini splits that are up on the roof of the east building. And so getting all of those in was a nice puzzle for the designers and the subs, and we got them all in. Next photo, please. So here's the south building. You'll see that it has similar design cues as the east building did. On the top left photo, you can see this huge tree that we have preserved. It's purported to be the oldest tulip tree in Oregon. So we did a lot of extra things to save some very large old trees on the site. And it isn't as easy as you think it would be. You think, hey, the trees are there, you can just work around them. There's a lot of things that goes into that. So we all received a bit of an education on that, but we have saved a bunch of trees and it is really nice. And then the lower right-hand photo is a photo of the top floor. You can see some of those interesting roof lines. This project is nice because even the new buildings have some of that charming character that goes into why people like historic buildings. And so even the new buildings have been able to incorporate some of that. And so we have folks that are just chomping at the bit to get into this building. And so we are excited to be able to finish it at the end of the month because we've taken a bunch of applications for it already. Next slide. And then this gives you a taste of the existing National Register building and some of the work that's going on here. The top left photo, this was scaffolding that was up. We were doing chimney restoration on this 100-year-old building. And then the lower left photo is some site work that was going on. This lower center photo, that it, this kind of shows you everything it takes to get modern utilities, electrical, plumbing, the mini splits into the units. And then the lower right photo is an example of a unit that is just ready for drywall. Since that photo was taken, we have drywall almost completed now. Next slide. So we'll take questions. I'm hoping that my colleague Leah Cooper has joined us. She is Director of Housing Operations for Innovative Housing. Leah, are you on the call yet?
I'm here. Yep.
Hi. Great. Well, Leah is gonna talk a little bit about lease up and outreach and community engagement.
Hi everyone. As Julie said, I'm Leah Cooper. I am the Director of Housing Operations at IHI, and I've been currently doing a lot of work on the lease up for Anaman. We have 15 units moved in. We have a lot more that are working their way through compliance. And in addition to that, the project has 12 PSH units, six in the east building and six in the south building. All of the east building units are identified. Folks are all the way through to the home forward phase of the application process. And the six units in the south building are already identified and working their way through the process. So we feel really good about the lease up of the permanent supportive housing units. We've done a bunch of different things to get folks into Anaman. We started with an interest list that started probably about a year and a half ago. So we let everybody know on the interest list when the building was starting to take applications. We also did a lot of providing information to any service partner that IHI has ever worked with, frankly. We've been sending out emails. We did provide sort of a lag time between when we let our service partners and interest list know and when we started a sort of general, and of course the AFH MP contacts as well. After we notified all of them, we sort of created a little bit of a lag time before we started general marketing to the community, just to make sure that we had, frankly, a diverse pool of applicants. But we have started sort of the general marketing for the building, which means we're spending, you know, money on apartments.com, Craigslist, and sort of more mainstream ways of letting the community know that we have openings. I wanted to mention that we are doing a lot of work with neighbors in the Laurelhurst community. I met with a group of neighbors this week, and they sort of have their own campaign. They have all of our marketing materials and pre-application, and so they have been spreading that out throughout the community to see if anyone that's living in Laurelhurst and Kearns is interested in living there. We've done some marketing with the Laurelhurst School to make sure that there are families that are interested in affordable housing would have access. So that's kind of where we are right now with the lease up process. I'm not sure if there's any other information in particular that would be helpful for folks to know.
Well, I appreciate it. We are at our time actually for the presentation. So that's fantastic. Great timing around it. I will go to questions from the Bond Oversight Committee. I'll begin with Annalise. Comments or questions?
Thank you, Dr. Holt. I don't have any questions for either of you. Thank you so much for this presentation. It's really exciting to see. I've always been particularly interested in this project, knowing its location and knowing the rarity of getting affordable housing into the Laurelhurst neighborhood. And also, knowing that you were renovating a historical old building was, you know, going in imagining that it was going to be particularly tough and that you were going to encounter some surprises. So really excited to see that, you know, of course you have encountered them, but you figured out how to overcome them, and that September hopefully will, that last piece will be up and open for folks to move into. So wonderful job, nice work. I know it could not have been easy these last couple of years.
Thank you, Annalise. Todd.
Yes, thank you. And apologies if you can hear a dog barking in the background. But no questions, just appreciations. I guess I did want to call like a special appreciations for saving the trees. We've actually done walkthroughs in East Portland around the value of urban forestry and green landscapes, and old trees are really hard to replace. And so, yeah, I imagine it was a lot of work to work around them, but once those things are down, they take literally decades to come back. So I think it's really good for the residents and appreciate it. Thank you.
You, Todd, thanks for the presentation. Great work. Significant things happening. We appreciate you for being here today. Next on our agenda is the interim director's update. Molly?
Molly had a scheduled meeting until 10:30, but I'll go around and see if she is available to come join us right now.
Okay. Then what we will do is we'll take just a moment, give everybody an opportunity, 5 minutes, get a drink or whatever else you may need to do. We'll be back in five.
I know, I expected you to be asleep a moment.
I know, well, I was, but session's over.
That's right.
Yeah, so now I'm...
I want to turn your microphones off.
Oops. Let me mute my... Sorry.
Thanks, Dr. Wolf.
Well, I got sleep.
I think it's at the hotel. This one?
I'm not sure where he's got all of this.
And we are back. Good to see you, Molly. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Dr. Holt, and the rest of the committee.
Yeah, this is what happens when you have an efficient team and they're going through their items expeditiously. We sometimes get a little ahead of the schedule.
Not a problem. I'm thrilled to join you this morning and tail end of your conversation and share a few updates with you that's happening at the Bureau. First and foremost, for the record, my name is Molly Rogers. I'm the interim director of the Housing Bureau, and I go by she, her pronouns. It's nice to see some of our committees with us today. I wanted to let folks know we have an active recruitment happening right now for the director of the Housing Bureau. It is going to be, it's being conducted out of Commissioner Rubio's office. It will be, it's going to be considered open until filled. So if you know of anyone, let folks know as soon as possible to get their names in there, to find the right leader to take us to the next level and address our various housing challenges happening in the city. We're very excited for this process to unfold. We hope to have a series of panels set up in the next month or two. And obviously everyone's anxious to get the next director on board as soon as possible. In the meantime, we continue to not just close the highest number of projects that we've ever closed in PHP's history in a short amount of time, and continue to have a couple more closings, but we're also gearing up for a couple more solicitations this calendar year. We just sent out a press release that expressed some of the thinking around these solicitations. First and foremost is looking at a last gap NOFA. It's a term that we're using that is sort of in contrast to being the first ones in a project. We're hoping to be the last ones in a project that is permit ready and has been struggling with some last minute financial needs, but otherwise ready to go. We have heard of a few projects out there that have either gotten other commitments or affordability already lined up, but are just sitting there to be closed, waiting for someone to come in and to get them to that final finish line. We're also hoping to do a solicitation on preservation. We have $5 million in ARPA funds, that's Federal American Rescue Act funds, to hopefully preserve projects that may be expiring in their affordability restrictions or have health, life, safety concerns. Last but not least, we hope to get a team on board for Broadway Corridor Phase 1. We're about to go to council next week to solidify an intergovernmental agreement with Prosper Portland to continue build out affordable housing at the United States Postal Service site, which is a huge site north of the central city, downtown, just west of the Pearl District. We're really excited to be able to think about being part of an early partner and a catalytic partner and getting affordable housing built early on to get kickstart the rest of that development. Just wanted to also let you know, we have been working to recalibrate our landmark inclusionary housing policy. We convened a panel of experts over the last 8 months, and that work just concluded on Monday. There's a fantastic article from OPB today that highlights the findings of the consultant that we hired and the potential recommendations coming out of that panel. And we are looking forward to working with council on a series of reforms to make sure that this program continues to be effective. Make sure that it is fully calibrated in current housing market conditions and can continue to build out affordable housing throughout the whole city with a focus on the 60% area median income and below units. So overall, I would say the IH has created over 1,000 affordable housing units that would not have otherwise existed if not for the policy embedded within market rate buildings. And that is just something that is it's a phenomenal milestone just for us to acknowledge in itself, because that policy passed 6 years ago, but it's, those of us who've been following it, there are a lot of projects that came in right before the policy went in and got vested under pre-inclusionary housing. So we've been able to show that this has been effectively implemented in 1,000 units. That work is going to be highlighted alongside other housing needs analyses to kickstart a larger production strategy in front of City Council on July 25th. I encourage you all to go and listen to that work session. We're doing that with our service area bureau partners, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, the Bureau of Development Services, and Prosper Portland. We're showing how all the bureaus have a stake in housing production and all play a critical role in trying to reduce obstacles, reduce costs, make it easier for the development community to keep working on building more and more housing, with our focus being on affordable housing. So with that, just one last final update. I know everyone is trying to figure out whether we are going to have a bond measure 2.0 as we spend down the Portland housing bonds, and we're very close to spending down or committing the Metro bond goals. And just wanted to just acknowledge that there's conversations that are being had. It's going to be ultimately conversations between our elected officials and the Metro Council and what makes the most sense in this current political landscape, given how much appetite we think the voters would have for another bond measure. So no set plan, but conversations are being had. Just with that, would open up to any questions.
Thank you very much. Very thorough. A lot happening. Much is going on. Annalise, any comments or questions?
None for me. Thank you, Dr. Wolt.
Absolutely. Todd, any comments or questions?
None for me. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Molly, for the update and all of the presenters and all of the work that's been done. That brings us to the end of another Bond Oversight Committee. Again, we are almost halfway through July, if you can believe it. It's amazing how quickly things are moving. Our next meeting will happen. Our next scheduled meeting is planned for the 5th of October. And we look forward to being together. That is a morning meeting. And if there are any other items that come up between now and then, we will make sure to get that word out. So as I wrap up my thought for today, at the end of this great meeting, and we have a few, weeks left of summer, I encourage us to get out and enjoy this incredible weather that we've been having here in the Northwest. And as you do, continue to take care of yourself and one another. We'll see each other soon. Bye-bye, everybody.